My goodness. Well, welcome. Huh? Yeah, I'm not a robot. That's for sure, I promise. Well, good morning. Welcome to Williamson County Cowboy Church. Are y'all glad to be here this morning? It's a lot prettier weather than it was last week, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness. That was fun and exciting. When we came over last Sunday, we leave about 7:30 in the morning to get over here. It takes about 30 minutes. It was raining. It wasn't really doing anything. And we got here, and by 8:30 or 9, it was like white Christmas out there. So, and continued that way. But we are honored that you are here this morning. For those of you who are new, I am not the pastor. I'm Ricky Bowen. I'm the fiddle. I minister here, some as do several other ministers in the church. And our pastor, Corey Ross, is on the road today. He is in Hamilton ministering this morning at a rodeo. So we are glad that you're here, and he will be back, I believe, next week. So you have me for today. So thank you. And those of you who aren't that excited, it's okay. It could be better before we're through, so I promise. Because you know what? When God shows up, you never know what's going to happen. Amen? Amen. We've been having a good time, and Pastor Corey's been ministering to us, and then Rusty ministered last week on some things, and we're going to talk about that in just shortly. But again, if you're a first-time visitor here at Williamson County Cowboy Church, we would like to welcome you. We don't ask you to come up to the front. We don't ask you to do the hokey pokey or anything. We do like to recognize you, though, because our church is very excited about having fellow Christians here and visitors, and we love that. So if you're a first-time visitor, all we're going to ask you to do is where you're sitting on the count of three, just hold your hands up, and we're going to make you feel welcome. One, two, three, if you're here for the first time. Come on, church. Yeah. Goodness. We are honored to have y'all this morning, and thank you for coming and visiting with Williamson County Cowboy Church. And welcome to those on the internet. We are glad you're here. Guys, you can go ahead and start passing out the tithes and offerings envelope. For those of you that are just visiting, our pastor, Corey, and his wife, Jamie, don't take a salary at the church. They feel like and believe that God is our provider. That's what the Word says. And so that they believe that God provides. So therefore, they don't take a salary from the church. That way that we can get up here and teach about God's economy and what God does for us if we operate in His economy. So this is one of the most giving churches. And I'll guarantee you, you won't find a bigger giver than our pastor and his wife. They are the biggest givers I've ever met, and so just that's why we are able to teach on the tithes and offerings. So this morning, I want y'all to flip over to Mark 12. Man, I got so many books up here today. It could be a long time if I use all this. there's a little hole, that cubby hole down there. Flip over to Mark 12. And we're going to start in verse 41. Say amen when you're there. Oh, well, I think most of you are there. Say oh my if you're not. That's okay. There's a couple of you. We'll wait on you. Mark chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 41. Verse 41 says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury." So Jesus is actually watching this process. "And many that were rich cast in much. And there came in a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance..." See, they cast in just what the extra that they have. It was really not an obedience thing. They just gave because it was cool to give because they've got extra. "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." See, what we see right here is Jesus watched this whole process. He watched the rich give, but he watched this one lady who she gave everything she had. Jesus was moved by her faith of giving and believing that she gives everything. The word says it will be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Malachi tells us that God says to try me, to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. He'll open the window of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't even hold. So he's telling us that Jesus is so impressed because this little widow lady gave everything she had because she believed. She believed. You've got to get that kind of faith. If you're having financial trouble, we teach sowing and reaping here. What you sow is what you reap. There's seed time and harvest. You have to give. Your tithe is... God doesn't need your money, y'all. Because it's all His anyway. And you know, but you got to figure out that God will pour it out if you operate in His economy. He wants your obedience to Him. You see? But He can't get it to you if He can't get it through you. You've got to give to the kingdom, and God's going to give it back to you. I've always said this. I heard this said one time. He'll bless your socks off if you'll try Him. That's what Malachi says. Test me. God says, test me. Don't you want to operate like that? See, that's what we believe here at Cowboy Church. That you sow your seed. There's a time you have to believe for that seed to manifest. And then we reap the harvest of what you sow. Operate in God's economy, y'all. Because right now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if y'all have kind of heard anything that's going on, but it's kind of weird out there right now. Amen? Amen. But I can tell you what, and one thing, if you operate in God's economy, He will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to tell you a quick testimony because I think y'all need to hear this. My son-in-law Chance and I have a dirt and landscaping business. And we're not a big company. It's me and him. He beats boss one day, I get to be boss the next day. That's how we work. Sometime I quit, sometime he quits, but we still work together. It's just how it is. About October, November, our skid steer started sputtering a little bit. Chance goes, I don't know what it is, but it's blowing some blue smoke. So we got our mechanic to come over and take a look at it, and he told Chance he thought it was the turbo. The turbo was blown, so we got a new turbo at the sound of $1,500. Just for a little old thing about like that, and I don't know machinery, and I don't want to. But I know that part cost $1,500. And man, it's right here at Christmas time, y'all. I mean, that's how Chance makes his living. That's how I make my living. And it's like, oh, Lord. Well, that didn't help much. But man, he and I, we're givers. They're givers. I know my kids. They give. We give. And we started praying and calling favor over that skid steer. I mean, because Chance and I are like, oh, Jesus. You know? So we'd gone to Georgia and it still hadn't gotten any better. And Chance says, he called me and said, I took it to Caterpillar. If y'all ever had any dealings with Caterpillar, woo! They are proud of the color yellow. Chance calls me and he said, Ricky, I just wanted you to know we need to take this. Because it's computer. You know, everything's computerized nowadays. Oh, my Lord. And it's not throwing what they call a code, but it's just an alarm that beeps. And the computer won't tell what's wrong with that alarm. So Chance said, we got to take it in and find out what's going on. I said, no, I agree. That's a good move. So he takes it in. Of course, this was December the 27th. He called me and he said, of course, they said it could be a week or two after the first of the year before we get anything. So last week, Chance and I don't know if he put it off longer than I did, but he finally broke down and called. And I think we were both just putting it off because we'd been believing. Our faith was strong, but again, you're dealing with Caterpillar. So Chance calls and talks to the guy, and he said, I don't know which one, Chance, I'm for sure, but he said, is it the one that's blowing all the smoke? Chance said, that'd be the one. And he said, let me call you right back. I need to talk to the boss. So he calls Chance back, or Chance called him on Monday. I don't remember which it was. And he said, you know, we hadn't even looked at it, but we did take the oil filter off. Isn't that right? The oil filter off. Cut it in half, and there's metal shavings in the oil. Yeah, me, that's what I did. Because I know that's not good. I don't, like I said, I don't know machinery, but I know that's not good. And Chance said, you know, are you sitting down? And I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm driving. You know, and I always hate that when he does me that way. Are you sitting down? Because that's usually not real good. He said, the mechanic said that that's an emissions problem and it's going to fall under emissions warranty. And we got a new $15,000 engine being put in our machine. That's what happens when you operate in the economy of the Lord. Amen. So with a big round of applause, y'all come give this morning. Man, lots and lots of kids. That's a good sign right there. What does the word say? We're supposed to be fruitful and multiplied. There's a lot of multiplying going on over the last few years. That's a good thing. A couple of quick announcements I forgot to tell y'all about. One is, where's Mike McCloskey? Would you stand up, please? Our rodeo is coming up in April. And if you own a business or you would personally like to be a sponsor of an event or just a banner or whatever in the arena, Mike is the guy that you want to go talk to so you can see him after church. Mike, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Also, don't forget about Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights here at church, we have a Bible study. It's everybody together, and we have about six or seven different teachers that rotate, so that different teacher every week. And if you'd like to come, we start fellowship at 6:30, and we have a few faithful people that bring goodies. And if you're like me, I forget. But I have good intentions. My mama does, and that makes anything. You don't want me to bring anything if my mama's bringing something, I guarantee you. Oh, Ma'am can cook, and Miss Jeanette can cook. Those two right there are the champions of the cooking church right here now. We don't even have a comp. We just say that's who they are because they can. It's good. So if you'd like to dig in, that's what we do on Tuesday nights. We really get into the Word, and that you can ask questions and say, I don't understand that. What's going on here? And believe me, there's enough teachers there that can help answer it. If one can't, the other one can. And if not, we'll find out. Because we don't know everything, and we don't claim to know everything. You see, being in the Word is something that's new every day. And so, I don't know everything. Some of you may know a lot more than me, probably. But that's okay. That's what we're here for. It made me think, I'll tell y'all this real quick. When I said I don't know everything, yesterday or day before, Laurie was reading something off Pinterest and it said, "You're cute." What does it say? You're cute when you're wrong. So now when I say something, I said, but I am cute, okay? Because, well, hey, I just don't even argue that I'm cute. That's what I am. She'll say something, I'll start to say something, I'll say, well, I'm just cute. Got nothing. Okay, one thing too. I need to read y'all a quick message from Pastor Corey. He does this. He's done this. This is our seventh year to be here. So at times, we've talked about this throughout the set. I know, right? 7 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But it has. And he talks about this ever so often because it's always a good thing to talk about. And he and I were talking about this week. And he said, I want to send you something to just let the church know. It's no big deal. But we are in some crazy times right now, y'all. Some uncharted, they say, territory. But biblically, if you look at it, it's not. So, but what he wanted me to know is, or y'all to know, is that tell the church if there ever was an emergency or communication was lost, because you stop and think about, I don't have a landline. Probably not very many people have a landline anymore. But if something happens to your internet or your cell phone, I got me and Chance been working on some smoke signals, but they are not very good. I'm telling you. We make a big fire and we make a lot of smoke, but the signals are not there yet. So, but if that happens, he wanted y'all to know that first of all, that with your family, you should have a place where your family meets. That you get together as your family, and then he said to have one person from each family come up to church because we'll have somebody here. Or there'll be a note on the door saying, hey, we're going to meet up here at 6 o'clock because there could be elderly people that need some help that can't call for help, that say, hey, I can't cook or, you know, whatever. So he just wanted me to let y'all know that if that emergency ever arises, with the communication, well, no big deal, but that's what he wants us to do as a church. Okay, so just meet with your family, have an idea, send somebody up here. We'll go from there. Amen? Amen. Well, Pastor Corey preached a couple of weeks ago, and he started preaching on end times. And the verse that he used was out of 2 Thessalonians 2, and it said, "Ye be not shaken in your mind, or neither troubled by spirit or word, that we're in the last days." Okay? That you read about it, or you get a letter, or the Holy Spirit tells you that we're not supposed to be shaken in our mind. See, because the end times is not a bad deal, y'all. If you weren't here on that day, we're gone for 7 years, then we come back for a 1,000-year reign on earth without sin. That ought to be better than amen. That ought to be a shout right there. Man, that's good times right there. So, you see, it's not a bad thing, but what we're seeing is, biblically, we're in the end times, y'all. And there's people, I've talked to people, "Oh, well, they've been saying that for..." Well, you know what? Today, we're one day closer than we were yesterday to end times. You can't argue with that. And tomorrow, we'll be one day closer than we were today. We're in the end times. You see, Pastor Corey was telling us that we can't let it affect our mind if we're going to do a job as a Christian. That if we're going to do what we are trained to do. And you see, that's what we have to understand, is what have we been training for? You know, what have we been studying for? What do we read the Word for? Why do we build other people up in the Word? Just so we'll feel good? Well, yeah, it feels good to be in the Word. But this is our time, y'all. This is our time. And then, Rusty last week, woo, Jesus. I love it when he gets excited. I mean it, yeah. Any fun when he gets excited? And he said something that really hit home with me, because I had been thinking about it the week before he preached. That, you know, man... I'm not worried about me, because I figure Jesus is coming back anyway before I go. But if I did go on to heaven before this all plays out, my kids and my grandkids. But that makes me a little teary-eyed. Sorry, y'all know me. I'm not ashamed of the tears. That's just Ricky. You know, that's my daughter's. Oh, he's soft. You know, they always try to make Dad cry. That ain't no big deal. Try to make Mom cry. You know, because she's the one that dealt with them when I couldn't. You know, she was like, "Oh, their mom." What we? It's one thing to make Dad mad, but oh, we made Mom mad. You know, because they knew that she wouldn't cry, and Dad, he's a softie. So, but you know, when you think about that, it would be left for your kids and your grandkids. But Rusty, man, he was so excited about anticipation, because God has appointed this time for all of us to be here, and for our kids and grandkids to be in this time. He knows what he's doing. Amen. It's not because I don't, thank goodness I don't have to. Did you ever think about that? Some of us get so caught, and I don't anymore, but some of us get so caught up in, "Oh my, well, this is happening. What do I do? What do I do? I don't worry about that." I laughed. Dad, the other day, I was talking to him about something. He goes, "You know what, Ricky, I'm 84. He said, "I just don't care anymore." And you know what? At 84 years old, he's earned that right to just not care anymore. Not a more godly man you'll find. He believes in the Lord, and he stands for what he believes. I guarantee you. But what word of wisdom, man? He said, it cracked me up. It still does. I'll drive down the road, think about what because it's the way he said it. He said, "Ricky, I just don't care anymore." You know, it's like, well, that ain't no big deal. That's the attitude, y'all. Because here's why that we don't. It's, you know, Corey preached on that years and years ago, and then through time that his dad taught him to have that "I don't care" attitude. And it's not that we don't care, but it's, we don't care that it's going to mess us up. Amen? That it doesn't run our day. That it doesn't run your post-toasties or your sugar smacks or whatever. You know? Your let go of my ego. I don't know. But why do we get so messed up? Because I guarantee you, I see people every day now that are messed up. But when we have that eager anticipation that Rusty was talking about, because when you realize, I mean, you ever stop and really thought about it until he said that last week? I hadn't. But I'm here for this time, baby. Bring it on. I mean, aren't you ready? Because I can tell you, I'm tired of what's been going on, so I'm ready. Let's do something. So we have to have that eager anticipation. He talked about Matthew in Matthew 23:14, wasn't it, Rusty? 24:13, where it says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. Right? We're going to, and y'all, so we all remember that, because we're going to talk about that a little bit further into the message. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. That's our hope, y'all. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is that the title of my sermon, if it has a title, is Hope. Nothing fancy. Hope. And I taught on this right before Christmas, and there wasn't a lot of people there that day. And I thought I was done with it because, well, there was only a few people in Bible study. But, you know, and so I got started on hope, and I got through with it. And then when Corey preached what he did and Rusty preached what he did, and the Holy Ghost says, guess what you're going to preach on? So you got to get back to work and study it some more. So, are y'all ready? Yes. Amen. Then we need to first establish what hope is. Okay, because I'm sure if we went through this morning and talked to everybody, everybody's got their own little concept of what hope is. You've all got your idea of what hope is. So let's, the world today, in the dictionary, hope, it says a feeling, now listen, a feeling of expectation, a desire or wish for certain things to happen. Now that's in the English language. It's a feeling of something happened, to happen, to have something happen, a feeling. If you think about how that you use the word hope, and I'm not just saying, I'm talking to me too. I've already read the notes, I know. But when I say it's used in doubt, that would be a false statistic. But most of the time when people use hope in the English language, they're using it in doubt. Okay? It's like, I hope I don't get the coronavirus. Right? And somebody says, are you sick? Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Are you saved? Oh, and this is the word that follows after hope that people will use a whole lot too. Are you saved? I hope so. I hope so. What is that? So we know and we teach here at Cowboy Church that what comes out of our mouth is so important. Because when you say, I hope so, well, that's not very positive, is it? No. No. I hope it rains. Or I've heard people say, I hope it doesn't rain. So see how we're using the English language uses that word hope. Okay? Now, biblically, hope. An expectation with certainty that God will do what He said. Ooh, Jesus. Now that's a whole new look at hope right there, isn't it? I like that. Now, let's go a little bit further. In the Hebrew, hope is the word B-A-T-A-H. And to me, the way that's pronounced, I did this in Bible study the other night, it's bata. But do you have bata? Do you have hope? See, because why shouldn't we say it like that? Y'all laugh. And I appreciate that because I do. I was hoping for a little love. But when you say I hope, do you say I hope? Or do you say I hope so? See the difference. See, when we say bata, isn't that fun? Come on, everybody say it one time. Bata. One more time. Bata. See, that's what hope is. Why don't you say it like you mean it? Instead of, I hope so, or I hope not. See, biblically, we have to learn to say it the right way. In the Greek, it's elpis. That's not near as much fun, but I mean, in Hebrew, though, batah means, listen to this, has the meaning of confidence, security, oh, and listen to this, and being without care. Woo, Jesus. You can say my dad has batah at 84 years old. Because, see, that word says being without care. That's what hope is. Amen? Hey, Dad, it's your fault. Well, Mom, too, but... if we learn how to say what we mean biblically, then it comes to pass, y'all. It's not just a feeling that the English language has. Biblically, it's what God will do, certainly. Certainly God will do it because He said He would. And that's the truth right here, y'all. Amen? Amen. Flip to Psalms 16. We're going to actually be in Psalms today, but we're going to start in 16, verse, or chapter 16. I don't know about y'all. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm a little... this daggum cedar is getting on my nerves just a hair. Oh. Me and Chance were working last week, and we were outside, and he looked at me. He said, "Why are you crying?" Just... my eyes were just pouring water out. My eyes were so raw at the end of the day from wiping the tears out of my eyes. And I stinking, and it hadn't done that way since I first moved here 7 years ago. Now I'm rebuking that cedar. Man, Jesus, send it back to hell where it came from. Amen. If your cedar bothers you, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, just go along with us. It'll be all right. My Lord. Psalm 16, verse 9. Wait, let's back up a verse. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in... everybody say hope.
Hope.
Hope. Even my flesh shall rest in hope. Because God will do what He says He will do. Amen? So what I did was the Holy Spirit gave me... I took an expanded biblical hope. I made the definition a little bit stronger, I felt. Biblical hope is a confident expectation or assurance based upon a sure foundation for which we wait with joy and full confidence. Amen? You may say it one more time. Is a confident expectation or assurance based upon a sure foundation for which we wait with joy and full confidence. That's my hope, y'all. I'm going to stand on that kind of hope. I'm not going to stand on "I hope so." It should be more like "I hope no." Right? Hey, that's pretty good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That wasn't for me, so I was... y'all flip to chapter 37 in Psalms. It's on page 737. We have the same page. See, somebody had it the same page. So, the other day, as I was praying about this, and what do I do, and I really knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted to do, but the Holy Spirit's like, "No, that you don't get to do what you want to do." So, everything I thought was not this, and then he led me to this chapter in Psalms, chapter 37. So let's just start with verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Is that kind of starting to even like a little light bulb go off in there somewhere? "For thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, let's go back. Trust in the Lord. That word trust, if you have an Amplified, you also, in the Amplified, it tells us what trust is. It says, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord. Okay? So it tells us to lean on, rely on, be confident in the Lord. So it's like in Proverbs, in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own, but in everything we do, we acknowledge Him, and He will do what? He'll direct our paths. So what Rusty's talking about, we are here for a time. If we're trusting in the Lord in these end times, then He's going to guide our steps. Amen? So that we have that confidence in hope. Okay? So the first thing I want y'all to get this morning is confident in hope. Be confident in hope. So now, I'm going to make you work a little bit this morning. That way nobody goes takes a nap. So with your left hand, or your right, I don't know, you can do it, but hold your place in Psalms and flip over to Romans 8. Say amen when you get there. Ooh, y'all are quick. I'm a little slow this morning. Romans 8, chapter 8. And we're going to go to verse 24. See, being confident in the Lord, verse 24 says, for we are saved by hope. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay? So if you think about it, this is like Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So that's what hope is. Faith gives hope substance. Amen? You see, faith and hope, it goes together. That's what makes our hope. That's what gives it hope. See, because if we are hoping for something, you don't see it. If you already can see it, why would you hope for it? Why would you expect God to do it? You can already see it. Amen? Amen. When you come in the house and you go to the wall, do you expect that light to come on? Do you think about, now if I flip this switch, it might or not might come on? Well, if you hadn't paid your electric bill, but don't tell me that. But when you go to that light switch and you get ready to flip it, you don't even think about it coming on, do you? It just comes on. Unless the light bulb, I know there's some, see there's some of you out there, I know everything you're thinking, and it's just stop it. So when you come in, you have to, you don't think about it, do you? Flip that light. You get in your truck, you expect it to start. That's hope, y'all. We don't have to think about it. But see, what we get caught up in sometimes is we try to figure out what God's up to. See, that's where our hope gets sidetracked. As we start thinking, how does He work? How does He do that? You know, how did they raise somebody from the dead? We start thinking about that, and that's what happens to our minds, y'all. That's why we don't see things happen. Amen? I brought a book. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to. We may be here a little while. Y'all ready? This is fun. I'm having fun. Are you? Man, this is the Word of God. Now, some of you may have read this book, and if you have, that's okay. But this is Corey's spiritual father, Glenn Smith. Great book. And I used this example at Bible study the other night because I'm going to read this to you and it won't take long, and I'm not a real big, I believe in reading to people. Okay, I taught middle school. You can't keep their attention if you read to them. Okay, they're big kids. That's what they think. Right, Howdy? You teach middle school. They think they're grown up and should be living on their own. But I want to read this because when I was studying this hope out, this is true hope, y'all. Listen to this. So it's early in Glenn's ministry, and he and Ann don't have much money. He sold his company. And for those of you who hadn't read it, you should find one and read it. There used to be some back there. I don't know if there still is. If not, we need to try to get some more in. Heidi. So Ann, it starts with Ann, and that's Glenn's wife. She's still, some of y'all know Ann. Man, what an awesome lady of God. Ann put some sandwiches, canned soup, instant milk, and coffee in my camper, and off I drove toward Springdale. He was going to Arkansas. It gave me a perfect opportunity to pray hour upon hour and trust God. I continued to seek Him about how this faith walk Brother Copeland talked about would work consistently in our lives in ministry. God's Word says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and I was diligently seeking Him with all my heart. I had $2 left when I came to a little town in Arkansas. It was getting dark and my gasoline gauge was almost empty. There were no stations open. I kept driving knowing that God would somehow intervene. I had just topped a mountain when I heard the pickup spit, cough, and die. I was right beside a roadside park. There were no cars coming by at that time of night. People were not on the road unless they had to because of the extremely limited gasoline. I got out two sandwiches that I'd been saving all day. I sat at the picnic table watching the squirrels run around. I could see God everywhere. It was almost dark, and it was a beautiful spot. In the stillness, I cried out to God, "Lord, what is going on? I just don't understand. I'm trying to do what You want me to do, and I have $2 left. I don't have any gas, and there's no one coming by. What am I going to do?" I guarantee you there's people here that can relate to this right now. Words, as though they were a neon sign, appeared in my mind. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I kept seeing those words over and over. I knew they were from the book of James, but I didn't even know what they meant. I said, "Lord, I'm just a cowboy, and I don't understand what You were saying. If I knew what a fervent prayer was, I would pray it right now. Oh, Lord, please intervene. I ask You in the name of Your Son, Jesus." I begin to see in my mind, as you would on television, Jesus standing and ministering to hundreds of people. They were hungry. I saw a small boy come by with some fish and loaves of bread. I saw Jesus take that little bit of nothing and lift it up to God to bless it. In my spirit, I saw Jesus feed thousands of people. The Lord then spoke, "Go put your finger in the gas tank and praise and thank Me for multiplying it, and I will do it." I thought, this is surely not God. I must be hallucinating. Those sandwiches must have been bad. I can see Glenn saying that too, can't y'all? Yet I had an inner compulsion to do what God said. You ever have that inner compulsion and sometimes you don't do it? By the time it was really dark, still I looked both ways, being embarrassed for someone to see me with my finger in the gas tank, head bowed and eyes closed. No one was coming, so I stuck my finger in the gas tank. I said, "God, Jesus multiplied the loaves and fish. I believe You are a God that can do anything. I even believe You could raise up a gas refinery here on this hill tonight." I picked the cap back on, put the cap back on, got in the truck with my heart full of faith and my head full of doubt. I've been there. I turned the key and the pickup started. I slipped it into gear, went down the mountain and up another and on and on. I praised God in every way that I knew with each breath. About 30 miles later, I spied a Y in the road with a small service station, and I headed for it. As I pulled in, I reached down to turn off the key. Before I could do so, the truck stopped running. I was so high in the spirit, it was hard to come down. I had driven 38 miles on the power, goodness, and mercy of God. Woo, Jesus! The station appeared to be closing. The lights were being turned out. I ran in and said, "Oh, ma'am, I need some gasoline. And I am so glad I got here before You closed. The woman replied, "Well, maybe I can help you. No one can help me." I asked what she meant, and she poured out her heart to me. She had planned so close to close the station and commit suicide that very night. She said her life was a mess and she couldn't see a way out. I thought, isn't God something? He takes this cowboy who is so high on his miracle working power and grace and hooks me up with this lady who is the depths of despair. I began to share the love of Jesus with her. I told her what Jesus could do, how great he was, and what he had just done for me, and she began to cry. Wouldn't you like to take Jesus into your heart? She said she would. I took her by the hand and led her in the sinner's prayer. Then she really broke down and cried, and I cried with her. Suddenly, we both began to laugh, and she questioned, "What was it you wanted when you came in here?" Y'all, that's hope. You see, a man, stop and think about that. If God told you to stick your finger in your gas tank if you ran out, do you have the hope that you would do that? Man, I'm telling you what, that's hope right there, okay? Because faith gave that hope substance. Here's a man that's starting out in the ministry, and he doesn't have anything. But he has hope like it talks about in the Bible. And yes, I would have been just like him, standing there looking around going, amen. And I'll tell you, after that, I read that. We were living in Midland, and we were going to Cowboy Church out there. And I knew Glenn and Ann. We got to know Glenn real well, and we're honored that we got to be with them. And that's how I met Corey and Jamie. Glenn and Ann brought them to Branson. But I just read that book, and we were fixing to go to Wyoming, and we had an excursion that every now and then, it was a fairly new vehicle, but every now and then it just wouldn't start. And they couldn't find out what was wrong with it. But like I said, I had read that the day before, and I got out of that excursion. I thought, well, by golly, if Glenn Smith can do this, I can do it. So I went and raised the hood on that. And I laid my hands everywhere I could think it might not work, and I prayed over it, and that it would start in the name of Jesus. And here's what I did. I didn't go, oh, please. I shut the lid, I got back in there, and I turned the key like I would flip a light switch. And y'all know what happened? It started. Even better yet, I drove it to the dealership, and for the first time, they found exactly what was wrong with it and fixed it. Amen? We need to work toward having that kind of hope. Man. Whew. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name. My Lord. Whew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Man, we're just getting warmed up. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I brought my wife's Passion Bible because I really like the way that it tells this. And it says this in the verse 4 says, make God, now listen to this, because this is what Glenn Smith did. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life. Did y'all hear that? Make God the utmost when it says delight in the Lord, delight myself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of his heart. But the passion, I love the way it says it. It says, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for what you desire the most. Man, what a God we serve. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That word commit, I really like how it talks about in the Hebrew, because that word means to roll over one's burden. Okay? When it talks about commit, so God wants you to roll over your burdens onto him. It also means this. Where's it at? I know I wrote it down. Take the whole of one's life and give it to God. Whole, not H-O-L-E, W-H-O-L-E, the whole, your whole life. You see, sometimes when we commit ourselves to the Lord, well, We're going to give everything to the Lord except, well, golly, do I have to? You know, are you giving your whole life to the Lord? Are you willing to give your whole whole to the Lord? In the New Testament, it talks about casting our cares onto the Lord. But when I saw that and it says to roll over our burdens, that's what God wants us to do. You see, that's how we have that hope, that biblical hope that we are certain that He's going to do what He says He will do. Amen? Verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as thy light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. When He talks about resting in the Lord, truly knowing what it means to rest in the Lord. And I wrote this definition down. To rest in the Lord means to truly believe that He helps, saves, delivers in the most urgent need. That's resting in the Lord. You see, it's that batah kind of hope, that I don't care. When you're resting in the Lord and you've committed yourself to the Lord, you've rolled over every worry, care. Even God doesn't want... Have y'all ever stopped and thought... Wait. Stop and think about this. And remember, when I step on my own toes when I do this. So y'all, if I step on yours, it's the Holy Spirit, not me. When we give things to God, we roll over our burdens to God, it's usually what it is, burdens, right? Don't we a lot of times just commit the bad stuff to God? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? It says to cast your cares on God, but then we talk about that word commit means to your whole life. So shouldn't God get the good stuff too? Yeah. I mean, but we talk about, that's all we talk, you know, because a lot of times as Christians, when we get so upset and we go, oh, well, Pastor, I've had a bad week. I stumped my toe. And well, I don't know what to do because, and well, you pray to God, God, I stumped my toe. Well, you forgot that He moved it out of the way so you didn't break your kneecap off. Oh, wait, we didn't stop and think about that. But you see what I'm saying? We get so caught up in, oh, I have a problem. I jammed the camper in the side of my ear the other day, and blood's running down my face. And Laurie's out there, and we won't bore you with the details, but I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I thought it went in about an inch, because that's what it felt like. And I thought, oh, I feel something. And I went like that, and there was blood all over my hand. I thought, well... But see, God made sure I missed vital parts and I didn't put an eye out. But see, we have to stop getting that attitude of, oh, poor pitiful me. And I hope because I stumped my big toe, God won't let it be ingrown. Come on, y'all. You got to admit, you've had that thought every once in a while. Well, not about the ingrown toe, no, but I'm just telling you that you can't tell me that you haven't had that thought of, oh, woe is me. But when we learn to commit our whole life to God, then, as the batah word means, we have no cares. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all, but that ought to make you holler. Thank you. Thank you for hollering. Second thing I want y'all to get this morning. True hope. True hope. Turn and keep your hand there. Go to Romans 15. Ooh. Romans 15. We're going to have to speed up. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope. Everybody say hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what it's saying is that trust builds hope. Okay? I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Trust produces obedience, which builds hope, which results in joy and peace, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, your hope is not your spouse or your kids or your grandkids or your job. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our hope, y'all. That's what it is. That's our hope. Okay, moving on. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. We're back in Psalms 37. Sorry, I didn't tell y'all to go back here. I know. I told y'all it was going to be fun. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Okay, so I looked that word fret up. And because I always thought a fret is kind of like it meant to be scared or, okay? It means to warm up or to blaze. So when we start fretting, it means we're getting ticked off. Okay? Now, so think about this for a minute. Cease from anger, because right now all the junk that's going on, you can get ticked off pretty daggum fast. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I can. And y'all, if you know me very well right now, you know mask is one of my pet peeves. If they worked, but if you wear a mask, you wear it for the right reason, not because you're in fear. Amen? Amen. And so, but I actually, and I'm Rusty, you'd be proud of me, I overcame for the first time last week. This verse right here, man, God said this, when I was studying this, Holy Spirit said, Ricky, this one's for you because you did this. This week, I got out of my truck at the post office. I'm clear across from the front door. There's a guy standing over at the corner here in Liberty Hill. I get out of my truck. I do not have a mask on. I start over there. He sees me. His mask is down here. He saw me and he goes and put it on his face. And I went, I said, I'm not, you know what? And then it just dawned on me. I feel sorry for him. I walked on by him. He's standing on his phone. And he moves out of my way. He got a mask on and we're outside. And I don't walk like brush against him or anything. I walked way around him, went on inside. My mailbox is right there inside the door, so I don't wear a mask because it says in the lobby. That's not the lobby. Came back out. Hey, technicalities. I came back out that side door, and he's still down there at the corner, but he's got his mask on. He's still on the phone. He sees me, and this is God is my witness. I thought he was a duck in a shooting gallery. He saw me, and he went. And I'm like, dude, really? And I start, and he goes over in front of the building all the way down to the other side so I could walk by to my truck. And I just laughed. And I said this as loud as I could. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to live in that fear. Amen. If there's a reason that you need to wear a mask, wear it. But wear it for the right reason. Amen. Amen. I'm off my soapbox. Verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. This is where gets back to what Rusty was talking about the other day. Those that wait, those that endure. And he read this definition, and who knew that the Holy Spirit would say, you need to take that, because I had that Bible. And I found that definition you gave. Endures, hold one's ground in conflict, hold out under stress, stand firm, wait calmly and courageously. You see, Rusty was talking about our endure to the end. And our hope, that's what we have to do to the end. Listen to the rest of that. It is not passive resignation to fate and mere patience, but the active, energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. Amen. Isn't that good? Because that's what gives us that is our hope in the Lord. Amen. It's not hope in anything else other than in Jesus Christ our Savior, y'all. Come on. Let's move. Verse 10. For yet a little while the wicked shall not be, yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Oh, I'm sorry. I got in a hurry. The third thing I want y'all to get is hope endures. Write that down. Sorry. I've been watching the clock. I'm trying to... Y'all okay for a... Good. Thank you. Let's read verse 10 again. For yet for a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, they shall doubt, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now listen to this. Meekness means gentleness, humble. But listen, I studied it out and found it says gentleness of spirit that connotes, which means to signify, remarkable strength. Did you ever think in your wildest dream that's what meek meant? Was a sign of remarkable strength. Yeah, because we were always taught that meek meant you were little mamby-pamby, you know. Is that a word, mamby-pamby? It is now. But meekness, we, y'all, that's us. We will inherit the earth. Amen? Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. I love this next verse. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord sees what's going on, y'all. He sees who is walking upright with him and who is doing the jump that's going on. Amen? And God's sitting up there laughing. Now, I know some of you go, well, it's kind of serious. But no, the Word says God knows. It's what Rusty talked about. We're here for this appointed time. So are you going to anticipate? Are you going to be eager? Are you going to be wallowing because you stumped your big toe? Amen? Yeah, because we are here for this appointed time. Listen, it says, verse 13, I love it. I want to read it again. The Lord shall laugh. Everybody say laugh. You can laugh if you want to, because God is. The Lord laughed at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversion. That's us, y'all, walking and being upright with the Lord. Listen, verse 15. Oh, I love it. The sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Everybody say broken. Man, that's good news. That's good news. In Romans 12:19, it says, dearly beloved, don't avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. Now it says give place to wrath. That's not your wrath, though. Because if you study it out, it says God's wrath. So we give place for God's wrath, and we go on in that Romans 12:19. You want to turn there because we have time. But it says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Listen to me. God's saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Woo! Why are we all worked up about things, y'all? Is that our flesh? Heck yeah, it's our flesh. You know, is that being part of cowboy church and being fought? Yeah, it is. But God tells us He's got it. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, at times it's interesting to sit down and talk about it and with friends and you know, and most of the time I'm just cute when we talk because, you know, some of you were paying attention earlier in the sermon. Thank you very much. Verse 16, and I'm going to close. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Listen to this. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Listen, the fourth thing I want you to get out of this is I thought I was supposed to be in Daniel this morning and I wasn't, but this is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to close with. Number 4, have the fiery furnace hope. Have the fiery furnace hope. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went in that, before they went in, and when I studied this week, it said that their statement that they made is one of the strongest statements of faith in the whole Bible. When Nebuchadnezzar asked them, said, "You will bow." And they said, "We don't even have to answer you." You know, it's like that old thing, talk to the hand. No, we don't even have to answer you. Because here's number one thing that they said was, is my God is able to deliver. The second thing, my God will deliver. Oh, but the third thing, if my God doesn't deliver, we're still not bowing down because we worship the one and true and only God. Amen? So why don't we have the fiery furnace hope like they had? Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed. We never do a service without giving somebody a chance to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That mighty hope, that fiery furnace hope. You see, when they were in that fiery furnace, there wasn't just three, there was four. That was Jesus. And this was in the Old Testament. Jesus says He will never leave us, never forsake us. See, He was, even when you are in the fieriest place that you can be right now, whatever you're going through, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's with you. But if you hadn't accepted Jesus yet, I want you to do it right now. Right now. Don't wait another day. These times, man, that trumpet can sound at any moment. And I don't want anybody missing. So if you've never accepted Jesus, we're just going to say a prayer right now. We're going to say it out loud. We're not going to ask you to come up to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. In fact, we're going to have all the believers say it with us. Because they need, at this time, man, we can, by numbers, we can get people saved. It's time. Don't put it off anymore. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to say this prayer out loud. And believers, I want you to say it with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. And I believe you were raised from the dead. Father, I thank you that you're my fiery furnace hope. In Jesus' name. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just said that prayer for the first time and you took Jesus into your heart, the Word says, don't be afraid to confess me before man. And Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father. So right now on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up and then put it right back down. Nobody's looking around out of respect to everyone. But we have a Bible that we want to give you. A little card in there to fill out. Put it up here later. But if that was you, if you just accepted Jesus, your fiery furnace hope, then on the count of three, raise your hand, please, boldly. One, two, three. Anybody? Be bold this morning. Anybody? All right, everybody look here. Amen. We're all saved and we're going to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, that's hope. That's my hope. Amen. I hope you've had a good time this morning. It's always an honor that I get to minister to you guys. Thank y'all for allowing me to. Blessings.
He's on me. I'm up here. Oh my gosh, that was so good. Oh, so good. So good. So Ricky, if you get cuter when you're wrong, do you get uglier when you're right? Well, ain't nothing wrong with being wrong, right? Because you just keep getting cuter and cuter, right? Hey, and speaking of old people, Rusty, I had to bring up what you said at the men's conference the other day. That was, because everything he's talking about, everything Corey's been talking about, you remember when you said that old people don't care and we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning? Right? And I wrote down, as soon as you said that, I was like, we got to learn how to fight like old people. And I said, in the earth, because you're talking, I think you're talking about the earth too. The earth is closer to the end than it is to the beginning. Climate change is not real. It's just an earth that's really mad. And that's kind of what I wrote down. The earth is angry, my friends. The Bible actually says that the earth is waiting for the return of the Lord just as much as we are. That's why you're going to see earthquakes. Perry Stone's been talking a lot about it. His last one here lately, he's talking about something major. He's believing, you know, and I trust in him. He's not even saying, you know, he said, I'm just throwing this out there, but he said, I just feel drawn to pray for, you know, because there's a burden for California right now. He said, there's something major that he's believing is going to happen there, because that's how the Azusa Street revival got started. But guys, we gotta hope in the Lord, man. I mean, learn how to fight like old people, not even care. When you're 85, Daryl, when you wake up, I mean, you don't look at life the same as when you were 20. You wake up, you're like, oh gosh, all right, Lord, let me wake up today. What am I going to do today? You know, when you're 20, you're like, you got all these plans. And when you're 85, you're like, all right, Lord, what are you going to do today? You know, right? Fight like old people, not care. Don't even care. Just get up and go do it, man. Learn how to hope in the Lord and not care. Because, man, he is exactly right. Psalm 37, when he's talking about the wicked, man, don't worry about what's going on at the highest levels right now. Don't worry about that stuff, because God has got it taken care of. You take care of you, and he'll take care of them. Amen? Right or wrong, no matter who's in office, right or wrong, we made it through some years when it was $5 a gallon for gasoline. We can do it again. We ain't scared, right? Man, I ain't gonna stand up here and talk. I get to talking all day about this stuff. If you want to bless Ricky, you know as well as I do, he doesn't take a salary here. And if you're new here, he doesn't get paid to do this. So if you feel like blessing Ricky, just this bucket here is specifically for him. If you haven't put your tithes and offerings in the bucket, it's this one over here. But if you'd like to give to Ricky specifically, and also don't forget, make it to Ricky Bowen. Don't make it to Cowboy Church. Am I right, Heidi? That's right. So don't make it to the WCCC. Make it directly to him. If you're putting in cash, you want something, if you want it documented for taxes, grab an envelope. You know, write your name and address on there. He'll get you a tax receipt, okay? So if you'd like to give specifically to him, this bucket's right here is for him, okay? All right. That was fun today, wasn't it? Y'all stand to your feet. Yes. Fight like old people. Man, goodness. I wrote that one down. I don't write a whole lot in church, but when I get revelation on something, I start writing. But, man, it's good. Father, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the hope we have in you. We are not moved by what we see. Holy Spirit, we are honored that you are on the inside of us, and you talk to us, and we will listen. I declare that every person in here has sensitive ears to hear and eyes to see. We are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and where you go, we will go. We thank you, Lord, that you direct our steps, and we will follow them. We will stay on the straight and narrow path, and we will hope in you, Lord, no matter what goes on in this earth. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. Thank you for coming. We'll see you later.